today as we come to the table.
You know, we don't start out as great men of faith and great women of faith. We grow gradually as we take new steps of faith. And again, we'll see God challenging Abraham today to new heights in faith and in trust. But in so doing, he's going to reveal himself to Abram in greater ways. And let me also add that whenever you learn to take new steps of faith, you're going to learn your God in a brand new way. There's no way to avoid that. If you walk forward in the Lord and you trust him in some area, if it's a step of faith, that means you've got to trust him to do his part, don't you? And when you see him do his part, what does that do? That shows you his faithfulness, and it reveals him to you in ways you've never known him before.
Whenever God asks you to take steps of faith, you will grow in your faith. As Pastor Mark explains in today's message, God's invitation for growth is always met with more of Him. God doesn't ask you to challenge yourself just to leave you hanging. God will meet you where you're at and will raise you to new heights in Him. Well, thanks for taking the time to join us as we come to the table. The Daily Bible Study Program of Mark Kirk, Senior Pastor of Calvary Knoxville. Sometimes it can be scary to step out into a new frontier of trust and faith, but understand that God will help you. Pastor Mark encourages you that there's nothing that God will call you to that He won't be there helping to equip you. You can trust in His faithfulness, love, and leadership. Lean into His deep love for you. Now, let's join Pastor Mark in the book of Genesis, chapter 14, with today's edition of Come to the Table.
Let's open up to Genesis chapter 14, as we'll be covering verses 17 through 20, looking at steps of faith. Why don't we read this together, and then we'll go back and look at it more closely. Notice what it says there in verse 17. And the king of Sodom went out to meet him, that is Abram, at the valley of Shaveh, that is the king's valley, after his return from the defeat of Chedorlaomer and the kings who were with him. Then Melchizedek, the king of Salem, brought out bread and wine, and he was the priest of God Most High. And he blessed him and said, Blessed be Abram of God Most High, possessor of heaven and earth. And blessed be God Most High, who has delivered your enemies into your hand. And he gave him a tithe of all. Steps of faith. You know, God desires to make us men and women of faith. That's God's desire. He has an ultimate goal for you. And we've all heard it. God gets us where we are and works us to where He wants us to be. And God's desire is not that we stay where we are. His desire is that He gets us to the place He wants us to be ultimately. And this is exactly what God wanted Abram to learn. If he was going to grow in faith, he had to take steps of faith. And the same thing is true for us. If we're going to grow in faith, we have to take steps of faith. And I really went back and forth as to what to title this as far as the direction of where we're going to go today, because both of them are accurate. Growing in faith, but really steps in faith one out, because we have to take steps of faith to grow in faith. They have to work hand in hand. One writer put it this way about faith. He said, faith is idle and does nothing when the circumstances are right. It's only when the circumstances are against us is our faith in God exercised. Faith, like a muscle, grows strong and supple with exercise. And so how does our faith grow? By using it, by exercising it, by doing the stair-stepper, if you will. That is a faith, and allowing God to do that work in our life. And so what we're going to find is that God will exercise our faith by challenging us to take new steps of faith at different times in our life. And I want to say this morning. God is going to challenge some of you this morning to take a new step of faith. Now, we're going to look at some of the steps of faith that Abraham took before we're done, but there are many more steps of faith. We can't name them all, or we're going to try. And we each have different steps of faith we have to take. And might I add, we're all at different places in different steps of faith. God has us in, some of us are in places where, you know, we're at a step where it's the first time we've come to it, where some of us took that step long ago and we're at a new step. So it doesn't matter where we are. The point is we're challenged to take the new steps that God puts in front of us. And right now, this morning, God has some steps in front of you. Maybe some of you right now are recognizing what that step is. Even as we're talking, you're saying, you know what? I have a step of faith I need to take right now. God's been dealing with this, you know, with me on this. I can't believe he's talking about this today. It's exactly where I am. And so, again, that's what the Lord wants to do. He wants to challenge us to take these steps. Now, as we said earlier, and not today, but in earlier portions of Genesis, Abram is used in Scripture as an example of a man of faith. But remember, he didn't start out that way. I can't say that enough. And that is, God took him in gradual steps, even as we're going to look at today, to get him where he wanted him to be. You know, when you want to get to the second floor, you know, you take one step at a time. Now, of course, if you're a kid, you may try to jump several as you're going up or whatever. But God doesn't make us, and I'm thankful that God doesn't make us jump numerous steps on our way to the second level, so to speak, growing in our faith. Because sometimes the step in front of us is hard enough to do. We have that one step in front of us. God is saying, take the next step. I want to take you to a higher level, a new plane in your walk. And yet we're saying, well, that's a hard step. Last thing I want to do is skip several. But God is faithful to us. He doesn't do that. You know, we don't start out as great men of faith and great women of faith. We grow gradually as we take new steps of faith. And again, we'll see God challenging Abraham today to new heights in faith and in trust. But in so doing, he's going to reveal himself to Abram in greater ways. And let me also add that whenever you learn to take new steps of faith, you're going to learn your God in a brand new way. There's no way to avoid that. If you walk forward in the Lord and you trust him in some area, if it's a step of faith, that means you've got to trust him to do his part, don't you? And when you see him do his part, what does that do? That shows you his faithfulness, and it reveals him to you in ways you've never known him before. You know, one of the ways, you know, Paul said this, God, let me know you to know Christ Jesus. And what Paul was saying was not that Paul didn't know him in the sense of being saved. It's that I want to know you deeper. I want to know you in greater ways. And there's no way to know God in greater ways without taking greater steps of faith. Now, if you're like me, you don't like steps of faith. I don't like them. I like steps of, you know, clarity where I can see exactly where my foot's landing and exactly where I'm going. I don't like to have to trust. I like it to be there. You know, I don't want to have to walk through the house with the lights off hoping that I don't slam my toe into something. I want the light on so I can see that I won't. And so, again, when we take those steps of faith, it's something that is beyond our natural ability to do, which means it's a supernatural thing. And I want to say this, that God is not going to ask you to take a step of faith that he doesn't supernaturally empower you to do it. As God begins to challenge you in whatever that'll be, and we're going to touch on a couple that God dealt with Abram on. But whatever your step of faith that God's going to challenge you to do this morning, you've got to realize that God's going to give you the ability to do it. But, you know, I liken it again to the kid that's on the side of the pool and his daddy's saying, come on, honey, jump. It took forever for me to do it. You remember that feeling? Some of you that did that, if you ever had that experience. You know, you just stood there forever, just kind of like you didn't want to do it because you, what if he doesn't? I mean, he says he'll catch me, and he looks big enough, but what if he doesn't? And then finally you do it, and then once you start, it opens this whole new world up of excitement, a whole new world of fun. You wouldn't have the thrill. You wouldn't have the splash. You wouldn't have the wow. And then after a while, it's not jumping off the side into dad's arms. It's off to the diving board, man, doing backflips. See, here's where God wants you to be in your walk. He wants you to learn to jump off the side. And again, in faith, if that's where you are, that's okay. All of us are at the jumping off the side at different levels of faith. But God wants us to learn to take that jump into his arms so that we can now head to the diving board of higher things and have a lot more just adventure in the Lord. And so God is faithful to do that in our lives, and he's going to challenge Abram here, and he's going to challenge us today as well. And the reward is great. And so as we see God work in Abram's life through these steps of faith, we have to realize that God will take us through the same steps of faith and work in our life. But we also need to realize there's an end goal in mind, and that is to teach us to trust him and to walk in higher degrees of God's spirit and God's power and in God's blessing and just seeing what the Lord can do. Now, it's also important that we understand before we get into this passage today that each step of faith we take will gradually be more difficult. Now, let me say this. God's not going to give you a greater step of faith than you're able to handle. He's not going to ask you to do something you can't do. If he's going to ask you to do it, he's going to give you the faith to do it. He's going to give you the spirit to do it. He's going to give you the desire and motivation to do it. Now it's just a matter of you following through. But he's not going to overwhelm you. He's not going to give you more than you can handle. It's going to be baby steps. The next step, whatever step God has put in front of you today, that's all he's asking you to take. But note this, until you take the step that God puts in front of you today, you can never move on to the one beyond it. See, what is different in the earthly realm and the heavenly realm is on the earthly realm, you can skip a few steps. You can jump up and get up there quicker. In the spiritual realm, God doesn't allow that. God's economy is one step at a time. And until we take the next step, God will not allow us to move on to the one after that. Remember Abraham in Ur of the Chaldees. God said, Abraham, leave and come follow me. Abraham didn't right away. How do we know that? Genesis chapter 12, verses 1 through 3. God had said to Abram, leave your family and leave your home in Ur of the Chaldees, which means God had said it before and Abram didn't do it. Abram failed. There was the step. Abram didn't take the step of faith to commit his life to the Lord. We would say today in modern day application, to commit his life to Christ. He didn't take that step. He was stuck in Ur. And he stayed there until finally God said to him again, Abram, trust me, take the step of faith, leave your family, come and follow me. And then we see that he finally did it. And after he did that, God gave him the next instructions. Now follow me to the land that I'll show you. I'm taking you to a new land. And in each path along the way, we're going to see that God takes Abram to new places and gives Abram new challenges. But God gives it a step at a time, and that's what we have to first understand. Secondly, we have to understand until we take that step, God's not going to take us beyond that. We're going to be stifled in our maturity. We're going to be stunted in our growth. And some of you this morning might be stunted in your growth in the Lord because you've not taken the next step that God has placed in front of you. And until you take that step, you're not going to move on. But again, in so talking about the fact that God won't overwhelm us because some of you have fear in your heart. But yeah, what if I can't do it? What if God asks me to do something that's beyond me? Listen, God will never overwhelm you by giving you more than you can handle. When God called Abraham the first day, he didn't reveal himself and say, Abraham, you know, go and take a family member and offer him to me on this place that I'll show you. He said, Abraham, just follow me. Just follow me. If he had said, go and take a family member and offer it to me, Abram probably would have said, there's no way. Forget it. Abram wasn't at that place. He couldn't do that. But it was after years of step by step by step by step. Now he's so far up the ladder and trusting God and seeing God's faithfulness in all these previous steps in his life. He says, now take your son, your only son, and sacrifice him unto me. And it says, Abram rose early in the morning and saddled his donkey. How in the world could he do that? The hardest test he'd ever had in his life, he was able to do it because he had taken all the other steps before it and he had seen God's faithfulness. And see, that's what taking steps of faith does. It grows us. It matures us. It gets us to new levels of trusting in the Lord. And that is exactly what Abram needed to learn. And that is exactly what we need to learn as well. Now, what are some of the steps of faith that we've already seen Abram take before we get into today's passage? Well, we already mentioned the first one, and that is basic obedience. He answered the call of the Lord. God said, follow me. He said, all right. That's step one. For all believers, that's step one. Some of you this morning maybe may have not done that. You've not given your life to the Lord yet. God is saying, look, I'm giving you right now in your heart. My spirit is calling you. And I'm saying, follow me. Give your life to me. Repent of your sin. Confess your sin. Believe that I died for you on the cross. Follow me and become a new creation. And we're saying, okay, you've given me the faith. I want to do that. I'm going to ask you into my heart today. I'm going to make that step of faith. Here we go. That's level one. Abraham has done that. Some of you have done that. Now you move on to level two. What is the next thing we see that God did with Abraham? The second step that God asked Abraham to do, which we saw in previous studies is to trust him. He said, you've given your life to me, now trust me. Go to a land that I will show you, and I'm gonna give you a land of blessing. I'm taking you to a place of blessing. Do you believe that I'll take you to a place of blessing? Trust me. Some of you are stuck at the second step this morning. I have trouble trusting God. You see, I had a dad that I couldn't trust, and I had a mom that I couldn't trust, and I had maybe a husband or a wife I couldn't trust, or I had a friend that I couldn't trust, and I have real trust issues, and I can't trust. Then you are stuck in your maturity in the Lord, and you will go no farther until you get over it. Here's the bottom line. I don't mean to sound incompassionate. What I'm saying is, God is giving you the ability today to take a step of faith and say, I choose to trust God. See, God is not your dad. God is not your mom. God is not the husband or wife that let you down. God is not the friend that you couldn't trust. God is God. And we have to say, all right, my emotions are in one place, but Lord, I trust that you are faithful and that you are trustworthy. And regardless of how this world has treated me or anyone else, I choose to take the next step of faith and say, all right, you lead me. Wherever you lead, I'll follow because you said you'd take me to a land of promise. Let's go. That is called faith. And again, the result of that is maturity and stepping into new places where God wants you to be. And I want to, again, emphasize this. Until we do that, we are stuck. We will not move on in our walk with God. Not that we're unsaved, not that we're not going to heaven, but we'll never reach the maturity that God wants to take us to and move to that place that God wants to move us. Trusting that God will provide for our needs no matter how it looks and no matter what the circumstances. And we're going to see today that God challenges Abraham to do that. Abraham is in a place where he's offered great riches by this king of Sodom, we're going to see. We're going to see that he gives him this offer of all these riches. And Abram has a choice to make. Do I trust in the riches of the world or do I trust in the riches of God? And it's not that we don't need supply to meet our need, but do I trust in God to meet that need and to give me that supply? And again, that's what we're going to see that Abram does. We'll talk about it some today. And again, we'll see it more in detail in a couple of weeks. Now, before we get into this passage, we need to remember where we left off. Where were we? Remember, Abram and his men had just defeated the invading armies from Mesopotamia in order to rescue his nephew Lot. And now we see that Abram is met by these two kings as he comes back. Notice here in verse 17, it says, "And the king of Sodom went out to meet Abram at the valley of Shaveh," that is the king's valley, "after his return from the defeat of Chedorlaomer and the kings who were with him. Then Melchizedek," now we have another king that comes on the scene, "the king of Salem brought out bread and wine, and he was the priest of God Most High." Now notice right off the bat these two kings that meet Abram. And this is important here because I believe the Holy Spirit is painting a picture for us here of what we can expect at every decision point in our life. At every time in our life we have to take a step of faith, there's going to be two kings that meet us. There's going to be the king of Sodom and or the king of wickedness and darkness, and there's going to be the king of Salem, which Salem means peace, and Melchizedek, we'll see in a moment, means righteousness. There'll be the king of peace and righteousness meeting us as well. What is my point? Every time that God challenges you to take a step of faith, the enemy's going to be saying, "You can't do that. What do you think you're doing? Don't be crazy. You're foolish to do that." And the Lord is going to be there at the same time saying, "Trust me. I have great reward if you will only trust me." And now we see again this king of darkness, if you will, and this king of light in type coming out to meet Abram here as he comes back in from this battle. And again, we have to understand that the way they operate as well. So we're going to see that, you know, the king of Sodom here is going to try to get Abram to go for the buck, to go for the money, to be drawn in by the worldly things so that he gets ripped off. But we're going to see that Melchizedek is going to be offering here the things of God, communion with God, relationship with God, intimacy with the Lord. And what did Jesus say? He has come to give life and life more abundantly, but in contrast, Satan has come to kill and to steal and to destroy. And you can be sure that whenever we have these decisions in life we have to make, that they're both going to be there waiting, and we have to make the right choice or we're going to miss out. And Satan is ready to help us to miss out. But notice here this character. Now, we see the king of Sodom. We'll see a little bit more of him in a couple of weeks. But I want to focus in a little bit more on this character by the name of Melchizedek. Notice in verse 18, "Then Melchizedek, the king of Salem," which, by the way, Salem means peace. So Melchizedek, the king of peace, and Melchizedek means king of righteousness. So you have the king of righteousness and the king of peace, notice this, bringing out bread and wine, and he was the priest of God Most High. Now, who in the world is this Melchizedek? Now, I want to say a couple of things right off the bat, and that is there are different viewpoints of who Melchizedek is. Jewish tradition says that it was Shem, who was still alive, of Shem, Ham, and Japheth. He was still alive, and he had taken the title of the king of Salem. There's nothing biblically to back that up, and really there's nothing historically to back that up, and I think that that is probably simply that, just speculation and conjecture, and I see no reason to believe that at all. I mention that only so that if you ever run across that, you know where that tradition comes from Jewish writings and Jewish belief, but there is no historical backing, much less biblical backing for that. Others say that this is simply a type of Christ, and he certainly is that, a type of Christ. We see him as the king of righteousness. We see him as the king of peace. We see him in all these different things, and we'll see how he really lines up as far as the type goes a little bit more in just a moment. But there are actually some that say, indeed, that he was not only a type of Christ, but he was actually Christ himself. Now, how could that be? You say, "Mark, what do you mean actually Christ himself? How could he be Christ himself?" There are visitations of the Lord in Scripture. Before Jesus came to the earth, pre-incarnate visits. That means before he came to the earth as a man, we see throughout the Scripture that Jesus Christ came down to the earth to visit man throughout the Scriptures. They are what theologians call theophanies and or Christophanies. So if you ever hear the terminology Christophany or theophany, it means God, Theo, or Christ, Christophany, coming to visit man before he actually came to live as a man on the earth. What are some examples of this we see in Scripture? Well, remember when Gideon was getting ready to go to battle against the Midianites, it says that the Lord came and spoke to Gideon. So the Lord is speaking to Gideon. That is a Christophany or a theophany. Christ coming to speak before he came as a man to stay and to live and to die. Joshua, before he goes into Jericho, remember he says he went out and he saw the commander of the Lord's army. And he identified himself as the commander of the Lord's army and even allowed Joshua to worship him, to bow down before him, which only the Lord does. Angels don't allow that. And so we see again the Lord himself coming before Joshua there and revealing himself. Remember Manoah, remember Samson's parents. And it says that the Lord came and spoke to them about the son that would be born. There are many instances. We could go on and give more, but that will suffice it to say that there are times when the Lord actually came to the earth and appeared to man. Well, one more that we'll get to later on, remember, is where the Lord came with two angels and he talked to Abraham and he announced the fact that Sarah would be giving birth to a child a year later or 9 months later, 10 months later. So the bottom line is we see these theophanies, these Christophanies, and there are those that believe that this is none other than a Christophany or a theophany. Why do they believe that? And I have to say that I actually lean that direction. I wouldn't argue with anyone about it, but I lean in that direction because when we look at this Melchizedek, we find out that he's mentioned here. We find out that he's mentioned in Psalm 110, and we find out that he's mentioned in Hebrews 5 and Hebrews 7. Let me tell you some of the things that the Bible tells us about this particular Melchizedek. Number one, it says that he's the priest of the Most High God. Number two, it tells us that he is without father and without mother. Now, who could be without father and without mother but someone supernatural? It also tells us in these other passages that he is without genealogy. In other words, not that Jesus didn't have a traceable genealogy to show that he was the Messiah, but he didn't have a genealogy in a connected bloodline in the sense of father to father to father because of the virgin birth broke that line and he came virgin born. We see also that it says in Hebrews that he had neither beginning of days nor end of life. That is, he was eternal. Again, who else could fit the bill of eternity but the Lord? And it says also that he was made like the Son of God and remains a priest continually as opposed to temporary earthly priests. And so again, is this simply a type of the Lord and these phrases are used to describe that so that we get the picture? Or was this really a supernatural manifestation of the Lord here to Abram? Either way, it certainly is a type of the Lord. And either way, it was to take Abram to a new level in his walk with God, a new level of trust, a new level of faith, and a new level of revealing himself. And whenever God wants to take us to a new level in him, he reveals himself to us in a new way. And now we see today God revealing himself to Abraham in a brand new way. Now, it also says, which is interesting here, that his order is not after the order of Aaron. That is, when it speaks of Melchizedek in other passages, you won't find all this here in Genesis. You'll have to look at Psalm 110 as well as Hebrews 5 and Hebrews 7. But it says that Melchizedek was of a different order of priesthood. Now, what is my point? There was an order of priesthood called the Aaronic priesthood, not ironic, Aaronic priesthood. That is Aaron. Aaron and his descendants and the Levites, an Aaronic priesthood ordained of God, and this priesthood was given when God gave the law. He said, I want an Aaron to be a priest. Here's the order of the priesthood. Here's the way things are to be done, the sacrificing of the animals, the Old Testament law to be followed, etc. But now God says, wait a minute, I have a new order for the later generations, we would say the church, and that is the order of Melchizedek. Why? Because the order of Aaron was not perfect. The order of Aaron was done by man. The order of Aaron was by animal sacrifice. The order of Aaron was by law. God says, no, I'm giving a new order of priesthood. It's the order of Melchizedek, following the example of who Melchizedek was and what it says about Melchizedek. Now, what is the order of Melchizedek? Again, completely different order than the order of Aaron. It's a priesthood that's not under law, but under grace. And it is a priesthood that doesn't come through the line of Aaron, but interestingly, we'll see it came through an entirely different tribe, the line of Judah. Why? Because it tells us in Hebrews that Jesus is after the order of Melchizedek.
Isn't it interesting that it only took a couple of chapters in after God created everything for mankind to find a way to rebel? This is human nature, isn't it? Throughout history, God has something great in mind, but people find loopholes and do things their own way, rebelling against God. Something that's striking in the book of Genesis is that God remains faithful even when mankind does not. God keeps his promises when it would be impossible for anyone else to do so. What an amazing God we serve. Pastor Mark has been working his way through the opening book of the Bible, and there's so much more to gain from it. Come to the Table is a radio ministry of Calvary Knoxville. If you're enjoying these teachings, head over to thewaymedia.net to hear more. Just click on the Come to the Table tab. While you're there, if you have any questions or comments about today's message, we'd love to hear them. Just look for the questions and comments link. If you're ever in the Knoxville, Tennessee area, we'd love for you to drop in and see us. You can find service times and locations on thewaymedia.net. scroll to the bottom of the page and find a link to Calvary Knoxville. We have several service times that could accommodate whatever type of schedule you have. We're so thankful that you've joined us today, listening to Pastor Mark's thoughts and insights on the book of Genesis. There's more to learn and appreciate from the beginning of the Bible on. So come next time, grab your Bible, maybe a cup of coffee, and be ready to understand the great things God has for you to learn the next time we come to the table. Come to the Table is a radio outreach ministry of Calvary Knoxville.